What's poppin', y'all? Welcome to another great episode of Tag Team Talk. I got my great co-host to my left, Mander Reese. How you doing, my man?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good. I'm usually off on Wednesdays. Had to work today.
Oh, damn. So you put in overtime, basically.
Nah. I'm off Friday instead of Wednesday. So get my Friday off. But yeah, man. I'm ready to talk about this. I'm more so excited to talk about Backlash than Raw.
I agree. I think that's what we're going to start at. We're going to start with Backlash. I thought it was a decent little pay-per-view. I thought they delivered pretty decently. I thought to open the show, they did the Fatal 4-Way. I thought this was a good match. I thought they all had their own little spots. Thought Drew McIntyre was amazing as LA Knight, Damian Priest, and Jacob Fatu ended up retaining his championship, but I thought overall, I thought the match was booked pretty well, and I liked the fact that Jacob Fatu got to keep his reign going. Nah, I think the fans have kind of embodied him as the United States champion. I think he's someone who can make that title feel important again.
I agree. Jacob has been obviously presenting a lot on TV in the last year. So him getting this run with the U.S. title, a guy who's been unstoppable, is kind of going to give it some prestige, hopefully in the manner that Gunther did for the Intercontinental Championship a couple years back. I did like this match. I expected this match to be good. It met my expectations. I wasn't expecting Jeff Cobb to debut. Now,
yes. Do you know who he is?
I've heard of him. I don't know his work or anything like that. He is from New Japan Pro Wrestling. But when I saw him, I'm like, he's not even Samoan. What are we doing? So I guess he's just bringing in help. But this looks like the start of a Jacob Fatu face turn. As like, you can see the way he reacted at the end of the match. Like he was either confused or didn't really want their help or anything like that. So we continue in that story with Solo and Jacob, which is going to be interesting, given that U.S. title of story. But yeah, it was a great match. Everybody showed out. LA Knight ended up taking the pin, which I kind of expected. Didn't want, but I expected. I kind of thought this would be the match of the night, but it wasn't for me, but it came close.
Yeah, I thought it did exactly what it was supposed to do. And I think just in general, LA Knight taking a pin for me I didn't care who took the pin, honestly, as long as it wasn't Jacob.
I didn't care who. I didn't want Drew to take a pin.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want Drew to take a pin.
But I think it's interesting how the Fatu and Solo thing is going. It started a few weeks ago on SmackDown, or maybe it was Raw. I don't remember which show it was. Solo was telling Jacob Fatu how I made you. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me. And he was pretty. When Jacob first won the title,
SmackDown after WrestleMania.
Yeah, Solo made it about him instead of giving Jacob his credit for all the hard work he's put in. And then that's when you felt the tension start to shift from there. And Jacob snatched the mic out of his hand and told him that he did this. It wasn't nothing had nothing to do with Solo. And I think this is. This is going to be a great feud, especially when you talk about the title being involved.
No, I agree. I felt like the match should have happened at SummerSlam, but maybe I don't know. WrestleMania. It is what it is. I wonder how long they're going to drag it out. Hopefully not too long, because it's already been going on for a few months at this point. But at least there's a story surrounding the title now, and it's not just matches. Oh, here's an opponent. Here's an opponent. Here's an opponent. We got something to sink our teeth into.
Yeah. And I think the next match I got is the Intercontinental title with the men's, or was it the women's?
It was the women's.
Okay, yeah. It was Lyra Valkyrie and Becky Lynch. Great match. I think Lyra winning this shows you how much more important she is for the future. And I think that they still might be in a feud, because Becky then went on Raw and had her little promo talking shit towards Lyra. So I don't think this is over. But I'm excited for it. I thought they did a good job. I thought this was a great match. Very well executed. Lyra ended up with a broken nose, apparently. Don't know if that's a work or if that's real. But yeah.
This was actually my match of the night.
It's definitely a contender for it.
Yeah, this, and I wasn't expecting it. They put on a show. They put on a hell of a show. I don't like that she beat Becky with a roll-up. I'm just tired of the roll-up victories, but it is what it is. I digress.
What is Becky, that? What's the idea of a roll-up? Why do they do that?
I don't know. Like, I don't mind them, but they've happened so much lately that it kind of, like, it's not as special anymore. This one kind of was because I didn't expect Lyra to win the match.
Okay.
But after Lyra kept kicking out of stuff, I'm like, okay.
What was it, 3 manhandle slams she kicked out of, I think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. After that, I'm like, okay, she's got to be winning this match or, like, something's going to happen. So that was a surprise.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing, just a surprise. Mm-hmm. Becky immediately started attacking Lyra after the match, and I was expecting Bayley to come out or something. That didn't happen. I do expect Bayley to enter this feud at some point in the future, whether we get like a triple threat match between the three or Becky eventually takes the title off Lyra and it's Bayley versus Becky or anything of the variation.
Is there a real heat between her and Bayley, or is that just TV? I doubt it. Okay.
I doubt it. It's just TV stuff. I mean, if there is, we don't know about it, but I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt that's the case. But yeah, this was a great match. We finally got something for the Intercontinental Championship. We finally got a potential story surrounding the Women's Intercontinental Championship, and it's needed. Like, when you want to establish these mid-card titles, you can't just have, oh yeah, like, having good matches is cool, and Lyra's been doing that, but you really got to give people a reason to invest and care, and that's when the stories and characters come in, and you got a main eventer like Becky Lynch. You got someone that people care about, like Bayley. Hopefully Lyra will benefit from it. Hopefully the title will benefit from Lyra benefiting from it, and we can propel that title to where it needs to be.
Yeah, I think that's something that's been lost for like the last 3 years since Roman lost his titles. The mid-cards haven't really felt important ever since then.
The last
I forgot. Yeah. Gunther lost his after Roman lost his. So yeah.
No, he lost the same WrestleMania
night. Same night. But yeah, that's. I'm happy that we're going in this direction, and hopefully it continues, and this isn't just a one-off thing.
Let's do it for the United States, the Women's United States Championship now, please.
Yeah, I agree.
It needs it bad.
Yeah, it's pretty much non-existent. But it's. I digress. Then we got the Intercontinental title with Dominic and Penta. This was a really good match. Dominic has evolved as a wrestler, as an in-ring competitor. And
hey, man.
He's starting to put some shit together. When he dove out the ring and hit that DDT.
That DDT.
I was like, that's not something he would have did a few years ago.
But I think now, like, he's incorporating moves that he used to do when he wrestled with Ray as a tag team.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like, all right, they cheering me. Let me do some moves where it's like, I'm champion now. I really got to go out here, put on a show. They cheering me. Let me do some high flying moves. Maybe that's it. But he's definitely improved. Like, definitely improved.
It's kind of crazy to cool. see, like, a heel get cheered. He's been booed.
It happens.
He's been booed for so long. It's so weird to see this natural switch to where, like, he's being cheered as a babyface, but his character is still a heel.
I think it's so crazy because of how much he used to get booed. Like, yeah. No one got booed as much as Dominic at one point. Like, he could barely talk on the microphone. So it's like, and now he's getting cheered in every arena. It's crazy. I can't even pinpoint when it started, but.
It happened when, no, it started when he won the title.
Was it at right? Was that, yeah, was WrestleMania, that WrestleMania the first night?
Yeah, that was the first night that I can remember him being cheered that graciously.
That loudly, yeah.
Yeah. Because then he ran back to the ring. He had his, and he was supposed to leave, and then he wanted to have his little moment still in the ring.
Yeah.
That's
This
that
match
was
was cool though. It
yeah, no, it
wasn't like I
was.
didn't expect much from it. It seemed like they trying to progress. It felt more about El Grande Americano and Penta than the Intercontinental Championship, but at least Dom got to show off some skills.
Yeah, and he won, so
Yeah.
I'm not even tripping.
Which I expected.
Are you
I'm just saying,
excited?
you can't take the title off him that quick after he got cheered like that,
Oh
man. You
yeah,
can't
hell
do
yeah.
it.
No,
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how long they keep the strap on him. Like how
I'm
long?
wondering, like, obviously no one expected him to get cheered as much as he getting cheered, right?
Yeah.
And it seemed like the route it was going was that Finn Balor was going to turn face.
Yeah.
And like, but like, do you do that now since Dom is getting cheered? Do you turn Dom face? Like,
Yeah, I don't know.
do you pivot? I don't know. I don't know.
I like the fact that he hit Oblivion in his match.
He did.
That's
Yeah, he
that was
did hit it
actually,
in this
and I
match.
think you usually just don't see that often.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I saw a man do a woman's signature as a way to pay homage. It's usually the other way around.
It's usually all the way around. Yeah. That was cool.
No, yeah,
He does it pretty good too.
no,
I
he
still
does.
don't like it as a finisher, but he does it pretty good.
Then we got the what else? We have we have Pat McAfee and Drew. Not Gunther, I'm sorry. Gunther. I don't know why I said Gunther. This match was funny cuz it Gunther literally just dog walked him the whole match and I thought that shit was hilarious cuz and they never really gave Pat like this he's strong moment. It was just kind of like Gunther just fucking trolling him the whole match. Anytime Pat gained some momentum, it was just like a big counter from Gunther. And then he walking around, strutting his shit, looking at Cole. It's just, this match was good, but it was entertaining. I actually enjoyed it as a viewer. You don't seem like
This
you
is
agree.
exactly what I was afraid of when this match was announced. And I've been holding it in since I seen it. I haven't talked about it on Twitter because I had deactivated my Twitter.
Yeah.
I said, when we get on the podcast, I'm going to talk about it. This match was made to showcase Pat McAfee, not Gunther. Like, what did Gunther get out of this match? Nothing.
Nothing, but he still dominated the match.
He should have. He should
Yeah.
have dominated more, actually. Like, Pat
He
McAfee coming out of this match, it's like, oh yeah, he stood up to Gunther. He held his own, and Gunther gave him respect at the end. For what? Why would Gunther give him respect? For what? Why? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand. He put him in the sleeper hold, and Pat McAfee able to hulk up and get up, and it's like, no, nah, go back down. It's like, first of all, he should have never got a two count on Gunther. I'm sorry. Like, he should have never got a two
But
count, bro.
the two count he got, wasn't it when Cole grabbed his leg?
I think he got two different two counts.
Oh, okay.
I think he got two different ones. If
But
the Cole one was the only one, I'll let it pass. But matter of fact, he should have beat Michael Cole last two.
he tried to powerbomb his ass. He
He should have.
tried.
I will never forget when Brock Lesnar F5 Michael Cole and his shoe fell off, man. Oh my God. The shoe was just laying in the middle of the ring. But this match, like, it wasn't a bad match.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be objective. It wasn't a bad match.
No, it wasn't.
There were moments in it where I was entertained.
I
But
think that
the
was the
like
main draw to it. I don't
but
think
it's
it was supposed
like
to have any crazy. I think it was just supposed to be entertaining.
when you do a match like this, where your former world champion, who was just world champion not even a whole month ago, just lost the championship. Clearly, he's crashing out. And you're putting him in the ring with a commentator who isn't even a former wrestler.
So would this have been better if it was Wade Barrett? If it was Wade Barrett, would you have understood it being as long as it was?
If yes, not even long, because it was long because Gunther was toying with him, obviously. That's
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. But it's just the fact that coming out of it, it was done to give Pat McAfee a boost and not the champion, not the former champion, not the guy like if you're doing Pat McAfee, this should be like, oh yeah, Gunther is crashing out, spiraling out of control. He can't be stopped. He's hurting people. Like, after the match, he should have beat Pat McAfee ass some more instead of giving him respect.
Yeah.
That don't make sense. If it was Wade Barrett, that would be understood a little bit more. He's a former wrestler. We know he retired. It's like, all right, I'm coming out of retirement for this to show I still got it.
Why did Wade retire?
Toe-to-toe with a guy.
Is he hurt? Did he have an injury, or is he just done?
I think he did have an injury, but not like a career-ending injury. It was just like injuries piling up, and he's like, I'm done.
Oh, okay. I liked Wade Barrett a lot.
I liked Wade Barrett, too. That would be more understood, but like, you're doing this for Pat McAfee, and now Gunther is like, oh yeah, I beat Pat McAfee. Now I'm going to challenge for the championship. Like, come on, man. What are we talking about?
Hey, well.
It just pissed me off as a Gunther fan.
In a month, that man gets his title. He gets his rematch.
You're going to lose again.
You think he's going to lose again on Raw?
Absolutely.
Because isn't that, how far is that out of Money in the Bank? Is that
the day after.
That's the day after.
The 2 days after.
2 days after Money in the Bank. And so you think he's going to beat, Jay's going to win Money in the Bank, and then he's going to win right after that?
I don't think Jay is defending his title at Money in the Bank.
You think it's going to be Logan?
Since they doing Monday, I think he's going to defend his title against Logan at Saturday night's main event.
Oh, but so you're saying he's not going to have a match at Money in the Bank?
Yeah, he won't have a match
at Money in the Bank. Oh, okay.
If he does, it's not going to be a title match. Maybe he's like tagging with somebody to take on Seth and Braun or something like that. I don't know.
Hey, but, I do have a problem with that shit. Why did the tag team match with CM Punk and Sammy versus Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker? Why did they tease that was going to be Roman and Punk the Monday night after WrestleMania, and for it to now just be Sami Zayn?
They didn't tease it on Raw, because the whole thing with Punk and Roman took place off air. But they did kind of tease it, because it's Roman and Punk coming out. But like I told you, Roman wanted to take his PTO, and now we got to settle for Sami Zayn. They said Roman's not coming back till like June. So I'm thinking after Money in the Bank.
Okay. I thought for sure, since they got their ass beat. And I mean, wait, no. How did that play out again? They came out. I forgot what they. But they ended up like looking at each other as if like we need to work together. Seemed like there was a connection between them two, where they understood that they needed to work together to take down this new faction.
That happened, but it didn't happen on TV. That wasn't on TV.
So how did I see it?
You probably saw the clip on the internet.
I could have swore that was... Okay.
My bad. Because they was knocked out.
Okay.
Then they woke up.
Yeah, they woke up, yeah. Okay, you're right.
But even still, I think you could have put the Seth and Braun versus Sammy and Punk tag match on this show. But I guess they holding it off. Like, I don't know how long they plan on stretching this out for.
Yeah.
But I'm still interested.
No, yeah, I'm interested too. I think I'm going to be interested in anything Punk and Seth are involved in.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like they're going to probably be connected for like this next year.
They are wrestling soulmates at this point.
Yeah, and I love the fact that they try to play off that they don't like each other. I think they are like best friends out off camera.
Yeah.
But,
well, I don't know about best friends, but I think they get along more than they let people on.
Yeah, because I think there was like footage of Seth Rollins like peeking through the curtain once, trying to watch Punk's match, and it was like, look at him, because like, isn't Punk like one of his idols?
He was, yeah.
So
I don't know. He might still be, but
yeah. So I think that's always intriguing to see stuff like that, because they could never go to dinner. But they have to, like, play it off as if they hate each other.
Yeah. I don't think they hate each other.
Yeah. But I think...
it's always fun to think they do.
Yeah. Then the last match we got is obviously Cena and Orton put on a show. They put on another classic for us.
This match was insane.
Cena and Orton, I think they fit more than Cena and Cody. Place that their wrestling styles are just drastically different to where, like, they put on a slow match, but it was an interesting slow match, and it was a good slow
match. Yeah, it was
match.
Much better than that Mania match, for sure.
Because I just don't think Cody fits Cena's wrestling style.
I think there's a way to do it. It's just they took a different approach with this. Like, they had the history between Orton and Cena. It's like, all right, we can play off of that. They went off the wall with this shit. Like, this shit was not a regular match. They did all these fucking ref bumps and, like, 3 ref bumps, bro. Like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. They did table spots. Like, stealing people's finishes. Like, it was insane.
The fact that we got a table spot in a championship match that wasn't a non-DQ match was, like, hilarious. I just did not even expect that at all.
You know what always trips me out? They do all of this stuff after they knock the ref out.
Yeah.
And the new ref runs in and got to pretend like he didn't see any of that.
Yeah, that's, I guess, essentially, since you weren't in the ring to call it, you can't call it.
I guess so, yeah.
But it was good to see them two go at it again one last time. I think they said before the match that they were, they had 9 matches. They ended it. Now they're 5-5, even. Yeah. No one's above.
No, anyone. I think they were even before that match.
Oh, I thought they were not even before that match.
I think I heard Michael Cole say before the match they're dead even.
Oh, so now Cena's above Orton. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if that changes.
I would be.
But not.
You can't build this as the last time ever and then lie to us.
Wouldn't be the last time they lied to us.
Yeah, it would not be the last time. It would not be the first time or the last time.
Yeah. I wonder what's
his next. Because they said Cena versus Rock was once in a lifetime and then ran it back the next year. So,
what is Cena's next feud?
Archers.
True. Is that really a feud, though? They just going to. Yeah. That shit in the post game. That shit in the post.
Post show.
Yeah, that shit was weak. I try to watch it and just enjoy it. It just seemed it seemed awkward.
Because it was so quiet, probably.
Yeah, maybe that. It just, if you say one more word, you're going to regret it.
John Cena as a heel is so corny. And it fits because, like, John Cena, the character in general, is just corny. But it's like, I didn't expect him to be a corny heel. Like, when the ref was knocked out and he went to get the belt and he did the... It's like, come on, bro. He's a cartoon character, bro. He's a Saturday night cartoon villain. Yeah. Saturday morning cartoon villain. Like, I'm enjoying some of it, but it's like, the R-Truth thing, I think we'll have fun with. I don't think it'll be something serious. They'll probably, like, have a match at Saturday night's main event or something like that.
Is it essentially, like, a title match, or are they just wrestling?
I think it'll be a title match.
Hey, look at him giving R-Truth. Hey,
right.
I had kind of felt like they would have a match one last time, just because R-Truth has been such a John Cena guy. Mm-hmm. Even when Cena wasn't even wrestling, he would always do the... He would do the five-knuckle shuffle and all that stuff. So, like, I kind of had a feeling that they would have a match. And
it was insane that he got involved in this match.
Yeah, and then he just got his ass. There was so many. I never seen so many RKOs in one match.
So many RKOs.
From Nick Aldis, from all the officials that came down with him. It was just like, he was just laying motherfuckers out.
They were kicking out of everything, and all it took was a low blow and a title shot to the head for John Cena to win. The same way he won at WrestleMania. Hey, can we not do this shit every title match, please? Like, I know it's only been 2 times, but I just don't want it to become a pattern. That's all.
When did the FU become, like, not protected? I wonder who was the first. I remember it used to be, like, a devastating move when he first debuted it. I wonder who was the first one to kick out of it.
That's a good question.
Because it was at one point, like, the strongest finisher in the company.
Yeah, because John Cena was so protected. So it's like, let's see.
You're gonna look up who was the first one to kick out of the
I'm gonna
FU?
see if I can Google it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, AI probably definitely will give you the answer.
Yeah.
Because if I had to go, it was probably JBL.
Nah.
You don't think it was JBL? You think it was later?
Big Show.
Big Show. Oh, that makes sense.
At WrestleMania 20, that actually does make a lot of sense. Yeah.
It's Big Show.
Yeah.
He usually kicked out of everyone's finish at first.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. He's 7 foot tall, 500 pounds, all the good stuff. So,
yeah.
Makes sense.
I got one more thing we're going to do. This ain't going to be predicated to Raw.
Okay.
I watched this YouTube video the other day, and it was titled Wrestlers That Were Buried for Getting Over on Their Own. And I want to hear you react to these names and tell me what you think about it.
I think I saw the title of that video, but I didn't watch the video. So good. Okay. I'm glad I didn't.
We got some names. So Zack Ryder.
I think I know who number one. Never mind.
I'm going from his order. So I think number one for him was Zack Ryder.
Okay.
I kind of have it in a different order.
Okay.
Actually, no. All this right, might Zach be Ryder. Number 10. This is number 10. And okay. then it goes down okay. to number one.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder 100% got buried for getting over on his own. Like, I was around for that era. Yeah. Like, I was at TLC when he won the United States yes. Championship. It was in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And everybody loved Zack Ryder.
I love Zack Ryder, too. I thought he was amazing.
Like, he wasn't really doing much on TV, so he had his own YouTube show, which That's, was like, yep. YouTube was not what it is now at the time. Like,
mm-hmm.
YouTube was much different back then. So this was 2011. So he got over on his own with his own TV show. People started cheering him at shows and they gave him the United States Championship, basically the head down.
Like, yeah.
And then John Cena kissed his girlfriend. Kane put him in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
He was in a multi-man tag match at WrestleMania. Like, what was that round of there?
I think it's the idea of getting buried for getting over on your own just because you don't have plans with me doesn't mean why can't I be in control of my own future?
They always say Vince doesn't necessarily like people getting over if he didn't produce it himself.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think
which is a terrible way of doing business. Just a terrible way of doing business. Like,
you will not
do you
want to
make money or not?
You will not create a name for yourself. I will determine if you make the name for yourself.
Like, come on now. Like, hey, pal, you got over on your own. All right.
We're going to make you look foolish.
We're going to have you lose a match to Eve Torres tonight. And we'll see if you can bounce back from it. Try to break the glass ceiling. Grab the brass ring, bro.
The next one has is Rusev Day.
100%. I don't necessarily know if he was buried, if I can remember, but I know he got over on his own and just wasn't given the chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rusev Day was one of the hottest things in the company. You already know Rusev is a great talent. And you know why it's weird? Because when Rusev first debuted, Vince McMahon pushed him to the moon.
Okay.
Like, United States champion, undefeated. And his first loss came to John Cena at WrestleMania. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Then years later, 3 years later, to be specific, he gets over on his own. Fatal four-way match at WrestleMania 34 for the United States Championship. It was Rusev, Jinder Mahal, Randy Orton, and I can't remember who the other person was. And they give the title to Randy Orton. And I'm just like, Rusev was right there.
Yeah. I actually was not around for Rusev Day, so it was great to hear your perspective on it. I think this is one of your guys, Taz.
Taz was one of my guys more so on commentary because I didn't watch a lot of ECW. I didn't watch any ECW as a kid. And when he came to WWE, he debuted in 2000 at the Royal Rumble. Kurt Angle was undefeated.
Mm.
Undefeated. Taz came in. Quick match, squashed him, made him tap out. Never did anything after that. Nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
Apparently, he I got think really it's, over right before he got to WWE.
he
And
was
then,
huge.
yeah. And then apparently.
Apparently, Vince said he was too small or didn't realize he was that small. I don't know,
Yeah,
man.
Vince
Like,
had this thing with body types that you ain't fit his body type. He kind of
yeah,
just.
he a freaky dude, as we know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin.
I don't. That's a different case, because Baron Corbin was and is my guy too. He's one of my guys. The issue with Baron Corbin was I don't think you were watching around this time either. I think it was 2017. Baron Corbin was a babyface in NXT, turned into a heel, was doing good work, came up to the main roster and won Money in the Bank. Tried to cash in on Jinder Mahal, or was it AJ? It was Jinder Mahal. And John Cena to cost him the match, and he lost.
Damn.
Then he went into a feud with John Cena that he lost. Like, had a match at SummerSlam, lost. And then it's just like, okay, from there it was downhill. Then he started doing the corny shit where he worked for the authority, and then he was doing the shit where he was broke, and then he
Yeah.
became, then he got money. It was downhill from there. Like, I don't know if he got over on his own necessarily, but they did bury him.
Yeah. Cesaro.
100%. I'm not gonna lie though. Looking at AEW, Vince was right about him. But because I'm sorry, he's boring, bro. He's boring. Like, he's great in the ring, but he's not a world champion. I'm sorry. Like, at the time, we all loved Cesaro. He was popular. If they would have like just stuck the mid-card title on him and let him run with it, that would have been great. World title in hindsight, thank God, because he would have been like another Jack Swagger, probably, but better. Right? And I know that's your guy, but Jack Swagger as champion sucked. I'm
Jack
sorry.
Swagger couldn't get over for that. Vince tried to push him to the moon.
And they were in a tag team together, but right before when Cesaro got over, I didn't even put that together. Yeah. The real Americans.
That's actually crazy how much they tried to push Jack Swagger. And it just,
They
the crowd just was not behind it.
wanted that next Kurt Angle, and it just was not him.
Yeah. But,
Nah.
yeah, they got Chad Gable now.
And they won't even give him a chance. So.
Next one we got is Christian. Apparently, Vince had a big problem with Christian. That's why his title reigns were never that long. And when he did get a chance, he kind of lost them within the next
I
few
know
months.
what Vince's problem with Christian was. Did
It
they
was his
say it in the
physique.
video?
He said it was his physique. And,
He didn't like his face either.
wow. Okay.
He thought he was ugly.
Damn.
Vince had suggested a gimmick for Christian where he would come out and they would put a dot on his face because Vince thought he was ugly.
Damn, I did not know that.
That's how crazy Vince was.
Damn, and Christian was like beloved.
Be loved. Like, let me tell you something. The era where SmackDown was pre-taped,
Yeah.
when Christian won the World Heavyweight Championship at Extreme Rules, everybody was excited. We wanted this for him because, like, we saw him go to TNA and be a main eventer. We know he can do it.
Yeah.
Comes back, 2011, Edge retires, the title's vacant. Cool. Alberto Del Rio versus Christian. Christian wins the championship. That Tuesday. No, that Wednesday after Extreme Rules, I used to be on like the wrestling blogs and the forum sites. The spoilers for SmackDown had leaked.
Oh,
Randy
shit.
Orton beat Christian for the championship. And I was like, no way, bro. And like, even still after that, he got over as a heel.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that you have like a star in the making, but then you just kind of your ego or your perception of what a star is just doesn't you just kind of just throw him to the side, like, ah. And, like, he's still getting love. Like, you just kind of, and you still just got to sit back and just like, well, he might be getting love, but we ain't going to use him. They can like him, but I don't like him.
They should just let him do his thing, man.
I just don't see how you have, how you a businessman who's about your money, but, like, you have a money maker here, but you decide that I don't want it. I'm going to push Alberto Del Rio. I'm going to push Jack Swagger. I'm going to, like, it's just, I don't get it.
That's ego, man.
It's ego.
It's ego. And that's all it is.
He was cousins with one of your megastars. And Edge.
Not really.
They're not really cousins?
They're not related.
I thought they were actually related.
When they were, when like they were a tag team, they used to say like they're brothers. And then I realized they weren't. And I didn't even realize this on the internet. It was like something happened on the show, and I'm like, I thought y'all were brothers. I thought y'all had the same mom. What?
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, so y'all not brothers. Y'all just best friends. Okay.
Okay, so they're not even really cousins either, because they also
they're not related at all.
Okay, so they're just best
friends. They were just childhood friends. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, he's best friends with your megastar. Well, you.
Yeah.
There's obviously a connection here. You just fumbled the bag with that one.
Damn shame.
This one is funny because it's just like hindsight is so different. It's Cody Rhodes, how he started to get over, but then they gave him the Stardust role and it kind of just hurt his image and his career. And then he ends up leaving, going to AEW and rebranding himself as the American Nightmare. And now he comes back and he's essentially the face of the WWE.
Literally. And that's so insane to me. Like, if you would have asked me 10 years ago in 2015, if you would have told me 10 years ago in 2015, somebody came from the future and said, yo, in 2025, the two biggest stars in WWE is Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. No way I would have believed you, bro. No way, bro. No way. No way. But this is where we at. Yeah, Cody got over on his own. The Stardust thing was just so bad, man. And Cody being a professional, he did what he possibly could with it, but he wasn't over that much, but he wasn't a joke.
Yeah.
Stardust was a joke.
Yeah. He had that, said that they was talking about it in a video. They was like, he had that feud with Roman Seth. What was it? What was the name of the faction?
The Shield.
Yeah, he had the feud. Yeah. He had the feud with the Shield. That pretty much put him over. And then
one of my favorite matches of all time.
And then after that, they kind of turned him into Stardust. That's such a weird, and that shit don't even make sense.
It's stupid. Do you think that shit Vince did?
Do you think that was intentional to try to bury him? Or was this just, oh, okay.
I think it was intentional for sure. Actually, it was intentional. I don't know if it was intentional to try to bury him, but I swear, these stupid ideas, Vince actually thought they were good. Like, this is not, like, this is not a joke. This is not, like, we looking at it like, man, he trying to bury him. No, Vince thought this shit was a great idea. Vince probably saw that shit and had a belly laugh. Like, oh my God, look at this, pal. It's great. You're Stardust. Get it? Like Goldust, because you're his brother.
Yeah. I feel like you had to have when he was in charge, I feel like you had to be a certain level to try to go against what he was saying. And if you tried to go against it, I feel like essentially that was probably like the kiss of death. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, guys just kind of had to go with it. Only people that probably had to really say was John Cena, Orton, Taker. It's probably fucking it at that time.
Well, I heard a story. One of the War Raiders did an interview recently, and he talked about like when they first debuted on the main roster, Vince gave them the name the Viking Experience. Terrible name. When they debuted and we saw that shit, everybody hated it. They found out the day they were debuting that their name was changing. It used to be the War Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
So they went into Vince's office. For some reason, Vince really wanted them to be Vikings. I don't know why. Vince wanted them to be Vikings. And they said, "We don't want the Viking experience. That sounds like a Disney ride." So they went to the office and said, "You know what? Can we just do Viking Raiders? Can we merge the two?" And he said, "Go out there tonight, be the Viking experience. We'll see what the reaction is like. And if it's bad, we'll go with the Viking Raiders." Eventually they went with the Viking Raiders. Now they're the War Raiders again. But that just goes to show he thought Viking experience as a name for a fucking tag team was a good idea.
I don't even understand why you would put the word experience attached to a wrestling tag team. It
It
seems
sounds like a ride or
it
like
does.
a Viking escort service or something like.
It sounds temporary. It doesn't even sound like something that's meant to be there. An experience is something that
Jesus.
you literally experience it and then it's over. Like it's over. Like
It's quick. It's like it happens, then it's over.
yeah, so like you their name doesn't. It can't be taken seriously because it sounds like something that you're just gonna get for a little bit and then it's over. You can never really fully attach yourself to an experience because it's a fucking experience. So
Vince McMahon, ladies and gentlemen.
I can understand their frustration completely. So that shit would piss me off too. If I had a unique name, I was like, I love this and I just
Thank
can't
God
do
he's gone now.
it. Thank God, yeah. This one was funny because some of it's self-sabotage, but Rob Van Dam.
Oh yeah, 100% self-sabotage. I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry for him. Like I don't feel sorry for him. Like you won the WWE Championship, you got caught with weed, brother. That's on you.
Yeah.
That's on you. I'm sorry.
And but it was also just like even before that I think they were saying that like it was kind of hard for him to get there, but then when he eventually got there he got his moment and then it turned into self-sabotage
Yeah,
and he was
100%.
he beat John Cena at One Night Stand
John Cena at the
and
Hammerstein Ballroom.
he had both belts.
Both. Double belted.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And he had to just fuck it up.
Fucked it up.
But
I was so confused as a kid because I'm like, damn, why he lose the title so quick? But.
yeah, now you it's so weird that weed back then was so such a career ending thing. Now
Not even
everybody.
career, and it's just like it was so outlawed.
Yeah.
Like,
And
it's just not that
now
big of a deal.
they all I'm pretty sure most of them probably actively smoke weed.
Yeah, like Matt Riddle's whole gimmick was that he was a fucking pothead. Like,
Probably really was. No,
he
actually, yeah,
is.
he is.
Yeah, that's he
I
is.
was gonna say, he literally is another one that self-sabotaged.
His was worse. Yeah, his was way worse. Don't feel sorry for him either.
Nah, I still remember that one promo with him and Seth Rollins. That shit was
That,
crazy.
yeah, that was dope. That was legendary. I'll never forget that.
He what did Seth say? He said, I'm a elite. He said something about your wife and kids or some shit like that. What did
He said, what'd he say?
it had to do with his
He
wife and
said,
kids.
he said, because in the interview, Matt Riddle brought up Becky and he was like, "Hey, Riddle, you still there?" He was like, "Want to talk about family? Let's talk about yours." "Oh, wait, you don't have one because they left your bitch ass." He said, "Because they left your bitch ass and they don't want you no more." Bro. I was like, "Holy shit, okay."
Was that off script?
No, I think it was planned still.
Think that was planned?
Yeah.
It would.
I think it was planned.
I love that it feels off script.
That's the best part though, and I'm
Yeah.
okay with that. Like, yeah.
Like we just never know until like it's confirmed if someone's off script. Like
Those are the best moments.
the
And I
Tiffany
don't even.
Stratton, like the Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair, that we found out that was off script and they completely went off the rails.
Oh, hell nah. I knew that was off script in the moment. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, there's no way this was planned. She said, "Is that why Kaiser's in my DMs?" I'm like, oh. Yeah, nah. I knew from the jump. I'm like, what just happened? All right. Those are the best moments, though.
This is his top two. Rey Mysterio. that essentially, like, I think, I forgot what his angle was in this, but it's Vince didn't like Rey Mysterio's body type. And Vince essentially, Rey wasn't his, I don't think Vince was, I think he was saying this, that he wasn't a fan of Rey's body type, and essentially, he didn't really view him as a real champion.
I don't remember Rey ever getting buried, so I'm not sure what, I would have to go back and watch this video. I'm not sure when Rey got buried.
Yeah, I watched this a few days ago. I should have wrote why he put Rey Mysterio here, but yeah, he put Rey in the top two. Rey was in the top two.
Well, wait, you said Zack Ryder was his number one, so it's the bottom two, right?
No, these are the top two. Zack Ryder was at the bottom.
Oh, okay. Okay. Huh, that's interesting. I actually want to learn about that because I don't know anything about that.
Yeah. And then the last one was Daniel Bryan.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be number one. He was the most overact in the company. Like, and you just, you tried your best to shit on him. And they try to revise history and say, oh, yeah, WrestleMania 30, that was the plan all along. No, it wasn't. Y'all were about to have Batista and Randy Orton main event that show. Batista and Randy Orton. Y'all weren't even, they had gone away from the Authority storyline. He was doing the Bray Wyatt thing.
Yeah.
So, why? Just lies.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan was like, he still has an impact in wrestling arenas.
If my mom knew who Daniel Bryan was, and she had stopped watching wrestling at that point.
You literally still hear that, yes, yes. Like, even he's not even there, and the crowd still chants it.
Not even just in wrestling arenas. It was in baseballs.
Well, really?
Football, okay. Like, so, yes.
Damn. Yeah. I did not know it was that global.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's... I thought this is a very interesting list. I forgot what he said for Rey Mysterio, but I thought in general it was all kind of on point.
Yeah.
Do you have
only any? Only one I don't know about is Rey Mysterio. I would have to. Well, Rey is the only one I don't know about. There are some people who I would say didn't get over on their own, I don't think. Like Cody. I think there was somebody else, but
you don't think Kobe got over on his own?
I don't think he was over that much.
Okay.
Just like I don't think Baron Corbin was over that much. They just got buried for no reason.
Yeah.
I guess. Which happens, but
it's kind of crazy to think that. I wonder who could have. I thought they was doing a bet. Like Drew McIntyre had to get over on his own. Even though they tried to, I feel like his character at the beginning just wasn't, for some reason, just didn't hit.
Nah.
And then I think he had to really get over on his own. And he eventually did it. Like when
he came back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. When he came back, he was a completely different person. His body was completely different.
Yeah.
If he came back as that skinny motherfucker, he was not going to get over. Hell nah.
He was his little scrawny ass little.
He was scrawny as hell, man. And now he just like jacked. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I guess the physique does matter, but in a way, it don't for some characters. You have to be a certain character to get over with it.
The same thing happened with Triple H. Like Triple H didn't used to be like jacked like that. He had a cool physique, but he was like smaller.
Yeah.
When he got jacked, it was like, God damn. All right.
Like, Shawn Michaels was never jacked, but Shawn Michaels is fucking amazing.
Yeah, fucking amazing. He's got an amazing physique. So, you know, Shawn Michaels didn't need to be jacked.
Yeah. Needed to, like, Bret Hart.
Nope. Smaller guys. Nice, lean builds.
But just amazing in the ring. It just kind of... They can wrestle with anyone.
Anybody.
Yeah, and it's so weird to say that. Like, they might have not been jacked, but, like, they could go toe-to-toe with anyone in the ring.
Anyone. That lean build shit ain't work for Drew McIntyre. That boy got some muscles, grew a beard. Main eventer, right there. Yep.
But, hey, man, we want to thank y'all for tuning in to another great episode of Tag Team Talk. I thought we had some great dialogue, great conversation. Let us know what y'all think about it in the comment section.
One thing I do want to say, Raw sucked.
It was underwhelming.
It sucked.
That's kind of why sucked. I skipped past it.
I'm gonna get him a pass because like Raw been really good recently.
Yeah.
So you got one bad one. That's cool. But Raw sucked.
But hey man, make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure y'all hit the subscribe button if you're new. But hey man, we out, baby. Peace.
Peace.